This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center Podcast. Indeed, I'm Kat Napsok for another edition of Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet, the Jabba's sail barge of our party, the Bright Tree Village of our Ewok adventures. This is the big show, and I'm joined, luckily, by both of my co-pilots for this adventure, Joseph Scrimshaw and Jennifer Lenda.
I like imagining that I'm a co-pilot in Bright Tree Village. That means I'm drinking and partying.
Ooh, yeah.
Yub nub indeed.
Yes,
yub nub.
I like this.
Jennifer, you understand the yub nub life?
Oh, I do. I am an Ewok through and through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Throwing sticks and rocks at people. Sorry.
I wish we were video recording, because last week Jennifer winked at us.
Yep.
And this week she drifted off into envisioning throwing rocks at people from high in a tree.
A place of great justice where she was doling it out with a sharp little spear.
Oh, boy.
Love it. Love it. Well, on today's show, we are going to explore those little areas of the Star Wars galaxy that have yet to be explained or that we want to be explained, and addressing the big question, Joseph, of what are the Star Wars stories yet to be told, and how should the anthology films really, really work?
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the big question right now in Star Wars land is Rogue One is coming out, and it's going to establish exactly how much financially Disney and Lucasfilm can tell stories of the odd little corners of Star Wars in film. We don't know what the 2020 movie is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's possible that they still haven't decided because they're waiting to see the reaction to Rogue One.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, there's a big question of what should the anthology movies be, which to me are at this point a question of story, but also a question of marketing and a question of demographics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because a movie needs to make a lot of money, especially a Star Wars movie, in order to keep existing. So, but we also have this rich field of comics and books, and I'm sure just
coloring books.
Coloring books, yeah, yeah, just images randomly projected on walls. I don't know. Any way a story can be told. Oral tradition, I'm sure you could pay to just have an old person tell you a new Star Wars story.
I like that.
Hey, George, can you just tell me your episode 7?
Oh my God, he would make so much money if it was just like an old school hotline and it was like 1-800 George tells you his episode 7.
What if George did like a tour of like speaking engagements where you could pay like 10 bucks or 50 bucks or 100 bucks, go to a theater, and he just gets up there and with visual aids tells his episode 7, 8, and 9 stories?
Or better, like a hologram of him.
Yeah.
Oh, I would
love that.
Yeah.
Pocket George. I could like bring out a little hologram. Tell me a story, George.
And this is where the new twins, they went to Tatooine.
I don't have any designers working with me, so here's a drawing I made on a napkin of the new ship.
I would, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we want. And episode over. No, we wanted to talk about a little bit of what Star Wars stories we want to tell. Yeah. And then maybe also kind of think about, well, which medium do they belong in?
Yeah.
Because some of them are not a good idea to be anthology movies.
Right, correct. Where I think Rogue One is the perfect one to start because that took a little section. I've said this before, I'm sure, but it took a little section literally in the opening crawl. And it said, there's between those lines, there's a story there.
Yeah.
And that's I do baffle, though, you know, all the problems of I had last episode with the Rogue One trailer and all the stuff that I keep saying. I love the movie. I do take issue with people who are like, this doesn't seem like a good Star Wars story. Like, what are you talking about? It's one of the most important Star Wars stories.
Yeah, it's important in the events, and it's important. I'm feeling like we're going to get to see how do people feel about having no Jedi.
Yeah.
That's such an important part of like the thematics.
Important part of the time.
Star Wars.
Yeah. So that's a great start to the anthology movies for me. But then the Han Solo one doesn't seem to have that kind of importance in the Star Wars story. It's just important characters having new adventures. Yeah. And that's a different kind of anthology movie. Hmm. So I don't know. What makes a good one in your guys' head?
A good standalone film. Yeah, I think that's why Rogue One is so important, is because it's gonna tell how people react to, you know, these characters that they don't really know of, especially the general public. You know, we know that the numbers are not going to be like The Force Awakens, but as long as it does well, I think they'll feel more comfortable taking risks and stepping away from the Han Solos and Lando Calrissians.
Right.
So that being said, I would like to see brand new characters. I know we've talked about Obi-Wan, obviously, but just, and maybe even not even in this existing time, like in a totally different part of the galaxy. Because this is my problem as a fan, is I have not kept up with the book. So I know that they're filling in a lot of things.
Sure.
I almost wonder if it's going to become a little bit too crowded.
It's getting a little crowded just timeline wise for some of the characters, for some of the major characters, for sure.
Right. So then would they have to jump really far ahead or really far in the past?
Yeah. I think it's about moving to the side. And I think that's what people want to do. And that's, I think, what George initially pitched when Disney called 1-800 We Want to Buy Star Wars. that this is such a, you can tell all these little stories everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we all got really excited about that. And then the financial reality of a movie still needs to seem like an event in order for you to sell it. You can't right now just be like, here's, like we were pitching last week, a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Star Wars, that's too far out there. So I think they need to feel like events, which I think means going to different parts of the galaxy that we haven't seen before, inventing new characters, and just trying to construct stories that are super important to that character, and not an adventure of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But they feel like this is the most important thing that has ever happened to this character. Mm. Like just kind of classic good storytelling. It's still hard to sell.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, even a movie like Deadpool, which was a surprise hit, there's nothing at stake that affects the world. It's just, this is really important these moments are important to this character.
Mm. Right.
And it successfully told that story, and we're getting to that point in superhero movies that we do get to have fun playing in any part of the sandbox as long as it's important to that character.
Right.
And I really hope that we get to that point with Star Wars.
In the Han Solo movie might be that for me. You know, yeah. Important to that character. I can't think of anything that's going to come out of that movie that's going to affect the main story yet. I mean,
exactly.
It possibly could. But like, you know, the anthology standalone films that we're calling them and they're outside the main storyline, Rogue One to me is very much in the main storyline.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it literally leads up to Episode 4. So it's kind of a cheat in a way to say it's a standalone Star Wars story. It's definitely an anthology film. But so the Han Solo one might be that. It could be a different tone, way different tone. I don't want a Boba Fett movie. No. I think we've all agreed as Star Wars fans collectively. No.
The only reason I don't want a Boba Fett movie is because I think it locks us into we must have a big fan favorite. And I think that leads to boring storytelling.
Right. Yes.
Instead of, like you were saying, Jennifer, inventing a new character on a new planet and finding out all these cool new things that we always have to be tied to a Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a kind of side question? Like, thinking about how committed fans are to the canon, thinking ahead, like 10 years from now, where they're still doing Star Wars movies, I mean, they're not going to be able to, it's going to become so overwhelming, the canon. Do you think there'll become a point where people are just like, I don't know where it fits, but I just want to go see it? Or do you think that we'll always have that kind of like, oh no, I know that this falls during this time and that doesn't, that's going to conflict, or, you know what I mean?
I think we're in an era where everything has to matter now. Again, we grew up without that word canon.
Right.
It makes sense. And the expanded universe kind of got too muddled. It was what it was. It was a big muddled mess. Mm-hmm. So I think we're always going to have where does it go? Where does it fit? But I wouldn't mind so much some stories being so far out from the main thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Reading the Ahsoka book, and there's an Imperial invasion, and which is, was part of their post-galactic, you know, forming the Galactic Empire. So maybe there was a planet that resisted and they weren't the rebels.
Yeah.
But they were a planet that resisted or something, you know.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind just not having to worry. Is that guy, did he go on to work for this dude? Or no, he's just this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't want all the movies to just be, maybe that's Snoke, right? We don't want it to be everyone to be like a Snoke mystery box.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what it comes down to me is, of course, narratively, what sounds best is different genres, different places. That's what's worked for Marvel and for superhero movies in general. They're staying fresh because people are doing different takes on them.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange opened up a whole different part of the Marvel world. The Logan trailer looks like it's going to be a movie about a sad old man dealing with mortality. Yay, superheroes.
Yay!
Biff, pow, mortality. Yeah. Like, so they're exploring different things. And I the question to me is, can Star Wars get away from the canon lock that it's in now?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, Jennifer, and go to telling really different kind of stories so we still feel like we're in Star Wars, but we're seeing something we've never seen before.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of our stories that we want
to
hear?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll start with one because it's one that I think will never be a film. Can't be a film. I mean, it could be a film. No, no, it sounds like a challenge. But in the canon wipe, I think something, a fun, significant thing that has been lost from a main character's story is how Anakin, A, got his scar on his face and what his Jedi trial was to become a Jedi. So those things were both covered in the original Clone Wars animation. Gennady Tartakovsky, did I say that right?
I got Samurai Jack guy.
Samurai Jack guy. I think I used a lot of the syllables that are in the gentleman's name, and I think because I was stupid and didn't write it down, I probably made some mistakes, and I apologize for that. But, so that was a part of that story.
I still like that
cartoon, but it doesn't feel like Star Wars as we know it now because it is so stylistically different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's, to me, that's huge.
Yeah.
After all of Obi-Wan's teachings, after all of the questions of the danger of the Chosen One, what trial did he pass?
Yeah.
Did he get the scar in that trial? Did Asajj Ventress still give him the scar? Who did? Like, that's a fascinating bit.
Yeah.
A story to me.
And that would be, to me, is it a short story? Could there, you know, there could be, before The Awakening was such a good book with little short stories, I wouldn't mind like a anthology of Star Wars story, new Star Wars stories coming out.
Yeah.
Give me a 50 page story of Anakin getting his scar.
Right. Not trying to blow it up to more than what it is.
Yeah.
But just little anthologies with some of these moments.
Yeah. Mm. Tales of the New Galaxy, you know? Yeah. That could work. That could fit in nicely for that. That could be a comic series as well, too.
For sure.
Marvel's doing a great job. I sometimes poke fun at the whale ships and Dr. Silo and all those things, but they're doing a great job presenting and trying new things. The Obi-Wan and Anakin comic series wasn't one of my favorite ones, and it didn't succeed. I think it's one of Marvel's least successful.
Just financially?
I mean, it just wasn't well received. It wasn't talked about. But it was a good shot. And I actually would, if they're like, hey, we're going to do it again, but 5 more years in advance, because I think Anakin was like 12 or 13 or 14 or something in that story. It was like early adventures. It just went into a weird spot. But that makes sense to me. Those stories would fit into that.
Yeah.
I'm almost more interested and intrigued by these non-movie stories that we could tell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you could make Star Wars, Anakin Scar, a Star Wars story with Hayden Christensen. But I don't think they're going to do that in any time period.
Yeah.
So there was blank spots with the main characters that I think sometimes it's because the canon wipe, and other times just, well, we never got to do that little one. So that's one of mine. Ken, do you have a Star Wars story you want to tell?
Yeah, I do. There's a couple different ones here, and one just was in my head, and I drew a blank on it as I was about to say it. So I'm going to go to the second one. I think we hear a lot about Netflix and hey, could we do a short run Star Wars series, an HBO type series? Everyone wants that.
Yep.
Marvel's killing it in that too on Netflix. I think the story that we need to retell and firm up and make canonized is about Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So if you could bring Lucino back, I don't want it in book form. I think you could get it, maybe you couldn't cast Ian McDiarmid. That'd probably be the biggest obstacle is casting a young emperor. But hey, I'm open to it.
Oh, I got casting for that.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll team up on this then. So I'd like to see a 10-part series of Darth Plagueis, his apprentice Palpatine, and what really happened during that time.
That's so good. That's
a huge amount of canon that can also tell us about a little bit more about the way the Force works, and if it's a little bit more of a Netflix show where they have some time to do it. But my casting for that is Arthur Darvill, who played Rory on Doctor Who and is the lead on Legends of Tomorrow, the DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh.
He's a phenomenal actor, and he's got the right look to be Emperor Palpatine.
Okay, go picture.
Yeah,
exactly. We got go picture. All we have to do is write this, Joseph.
That's all we have to do.
We just have to come up with this idea.
Get on that.
Let's talk off air.
Absolutely.
I have an idea.
We'll write it up real quick, and I'll call 1-800-ARTHUR-DARVILLE, and I'm sure he'll be right there.
That's something I'd like to see.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Would you want it full House of Cards style where Plagueis or Palpatine turn to the camera and tell you what they're thinking?
No. But if Jar Jar showed up and said, here's a what's going on, maybe I'd be okay with that.
Previously.
But make it dark. Make it bad. Make it, it ends with the rise of Palpatine.
That would be great.
I'm okay with that.
Have the room to make the politics truly fascinating painful and personal.
And much like the book Plagueis did, I mean, it goes in, I'm not the only one that's thought this. I was watching some YouTube video the other day, and they reference the book, and they're like, hey, it actually makes Phantom Menace a good movie in some ways, because Plagueis, the book, goes through Phantom Menace from another angle. There's still, you and I will argue to our dying days and try to drag Jennifer with us, Joseph, that there's some of the politics and the story of the prequels are needed and they're important to the Star Wars story and the Star Wars universe. That's what George was trying to tell.
Right.
So I think you could dive into that.
Yeah, it's a great example of somebody coming along and the sort of rough ideas that aren't presented well in Phantom Menace is laying out like, but here's why they're actually awesome ideas. And if you fill in these back, so that would be great to get that whole story back into canon.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's a good one. How about you, Jennifer?
Good. Wow. I love those questions being answered. What I think I want to see, and what somebody else I've noticed a couple of people online this past week wanted to see as well, is a mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah.
We're dealing with, fathers and their kids, and, that's great. But I think, and I'm not just talking about Star Wars. I'm talking about Disney. Like, the mother, even from Bambi, gets killed, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, wait a minute. As a mom, I kind of take offense to that.
Understandably so.
So yeah, I think that would be really great to see, have the mother be, like somebody who said, well, why couldn't the mom have been the scientist? you know, Galen Erso. Why couldn't have been his wife, Lyra, that was the one? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like having the mom be in a position of power and her daughter is maybe like, you know, in her teens or she's a 20-something. They come together to fight. I don't have any specific idea at this point. I just want to see that.
But just when we're talking about like different stories, and on the one hand, we're saying like, oh man, everything's closed in, too much canon. And then an idea like that is like, well, you've never talked about one of the most fundamental relationships in all of human existence. There's never been a Star Wars story about that. So that's a great way to illustrate, like, there's plenty of stories to be told in primal, important ones.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what Catalyst will do with that, because I'm assuming that Lyra gets killed.
I am too, and I think that's a good point when you're a storyteller in these modern times where the audiences are quickly demanding more or demanding different things, is to look right away. Oh, Mads is great. I'm sure he's going to be great as a father. But why does the Bambi mother trope? That's a good idea. You've just really tapped into something that needs to change. That could be very interesting to find out. Like, is it someone who, you know, rose in the empires, someone who rose in the rebellion, someone in the old republic? You could go through some great stories exploring the mother and child reunion is only a lightsaber away.
That is a great point, Jennifer. There's the whole girl in the fridge. We have a name for that trope where a woman, usually a girlfriend or wife, is killed to motivate the dude. Maybe things should be a hashtag Bambi's mom. Like, you Bambi's mommed this character. I mean, it's funny, but it's also, I think a great observation.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to be like, well, we need it because you just haven't done it. Like, you know, people say, well, diversity for diversity's sake. It's not about that. It's about, like, the reason why George used these familial relationships is because these are the relationships that create who we are. They shape us. They build our relationships in the future. So I think that it's so important. And now that I'm a mom, I want to see that. So.
Well, it's important as more and more voices cry out to tell their stories, and now getting more of their chance to tell the stories. It's like I say, the manic pixie dream girl exists in movies because most of the writers are lonely white dudes who couldn't get the girls. So they wrote the girls into scripts, and that's became the problem. So looking at you, Cameron Crowe, but though you did get Nancy Wilson, what's your problem? So now as you know, it's going to come from a male point of view for the most of the storytelling now. Now, if that changes, you'll have someone who is like, no, I want to explore the relationship with my mother, but with lightsabers and blasters. Yeah. You know, that's a good thing. And it's something I wouldn't have thought that. You know, I don't have children. I have a PS4. So that's important. I think that's a good story.
And you know who should direct it? Right. Ava DuVernay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
great. I was thinking of George Lucas. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
You can have some input. Yeah. Well, this is kind of a mother's story in a very, very twisted way.
Okay.
I really loved the developing story in The Clone Wars of Aurra Sing sort of becoming a parental figure to Boba Fett. An awful parental figure. But certainly just by like age and experience, a little bit of a parental figure where, all of the very twisted themes of child and parent in Star Wars, the clone, the idea that Jango Fett would say, the perfect child is an exact duplicate of myself. Like, that's fascinating storytelling to me in terms of what does it mean to be a parent?
Right.
Am I creating the next, you know, step in evolution, or am I creating an exact duplicate of myself?
There's some parents that do that.
Now, I am not a parent, I have been around many of my friends who are being poured into the mold of, you know, go do the thing that either I did or I couldn't do.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So I would love a Boba Fett story that dealt with a little bit of that part of it. What did Jango Fett expect of Boba Fett? What did he want? Did he want to take a bunch of money from the Clone Army assignment and retire with him?
Yeah.
Would Jango Fett be bummed that he's running around in Mandalorian armor as the most famous bounty hunter in the galaxy? Right. Is that not what he wanted for him?
But then I look at the Attack of the Clones moment, that great fight scene. Which is one of the better things. Boba, right? He's shooting at Obi-Wan, laughing. Right.
And Jango Fett is like, thumbs up. That's how we
good
do
job,
it, right?
Kid.
That's right. Yeah. We shoot down people with bad hair in space. That's the way we do it.
So there's something. And then, Aurra Sing's
involved. And then Aurra Sing comes in and is a parent figure. And I love how she's presented in Clone Wars, where there's no remorse. There's no good side. She is just bad. Awful.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be a bad parenting story.
But I like that too. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to all be nurturing, kind of that type of stereotype. It would be great to have her be an anti-hero.
Bad parenting is a story to tell.
That's it very really real.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and I think an untold story like that had potential. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting to what I think I am interested not probably in a movie of that, mm-hmm. but certainly a comic book or a book of Boba Fett's formative years traveling around with Bad Mom or a Singh.
Yeah, I like that. I thought about
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The story I was going to tell earlier here, I don't think any of us are pitching movies. I'm fascinated with Order 66. I love the things. I love when the Clone Wars talks about what caused it, how the clones had the implants. I love that explanation. I love the Ahsoka book, how it deals with the void after that and what it felt like to be a Jedi or a Force-sensitive person post-Purge. I love the Kanan comic, which starts with Order 66 and how his master, Bilba, doesn't survive, but he does, and how he goes through. So I would like to see more of that. And there's more Jedi out there that we clearly didn't get to see destroyed. So I'd like to see a situation, I don't know the planet, I don't know exactly where the clones turn on their master, but the master senses it, survives, and turns into a Jedi versus clones Rambo First Blood-esque movie.
Oh, wow.
Where it's him against his clones.
That's amazing.
And how, like... how he has to deal with these guys who he loved and treated as brothers who are now trying to kill him, and he's on his own with nothing but the Force, the lightsaber, and now the void of the Force. And now maybe he's dealing with the what else is happening? This can't be just me going on.
That's amazing.
That is so good.
And how it ends, I don't know. Maybe he survives. Maybe he accepts his death. Maybe he kills all the clones and can't take it and kills himself. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a classic film that I'm totally spacing on the title of that sounds like...
It's UHF with a Weird Al.
Very close. Very close. No, it's about an explorer who offends a group of native people and is chased. And the whole movie is that... The action of who is going to win, who is going to survive, but also wrestling with those moral questions of... Yeah. I don't want to be killing the people that I have to kill to survive.
Yeah.
And maybe it's my fault anyway that I started this off. So wrestling with those emotional and psychological tears while also...
Yeah. I could see that a book. Give me a book. Give me a comic series maybe. But a book probably would get someone like a Claudia Gray to really dive into what's going on. Or Paul S. Kemp. You know, there's been so many great writers with the new Star Wars canon. Pick any one of them, I'd be happy. But that's what I wanted to tell.
Yeah, awesome. Do you have more, Jennifer?
I have another one. I want to see a movie about the life of a youngling. What is that like for? I almost want it to fill that Harry Potter void we're going to be getting. You know, the group of younglings, we follow them and the sacrifices and the challenges that they have, and or even like harkening back to like a never-ending story, that kind of quality. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I think that'd be great.
A magical tale.
Well, we talked the last time about Jedi Goonies, which you had talked about, Joseph, was your story. But you could do something in that there where it's just simply called Padawan. And it's a story of you could pick the era. It doesn't have to be related to Order 66. Yoda doesn't have to be around.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Yoda's first student and he's like 100 years old and he's just learning how to teach. Or you could attach it and you could have some fun adventures within that related to the Force, the dark side, or just some bad people, bounty hunters, who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want a classic.
You got Go Picture 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Oh, I just remembered, because I don't think we've talked about it, and it came out now as this is being released a while ago. Did you see the trailer for the Old Republic online game?
Oh, no, I did not.
That's a great trailer that tells a mini story of a mom, actually.
Really?
I just suddenly remembered that.
Oh, good.
Because we're thinking about how powerful stories are when they just have that sort of primal connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably never going to play Star Wars Old Republic, the online game, but the trailer is just this little Star Wars mini movie that is amazing.
So
I would for sure go and check that out.
Okay.
It's really great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Can we, do you have another one that you want to get
to? I have one more.
Yeah, get to it, then I have a bigger question.
Okay, cool. So this one came back to me that I've been thinking about earlier when you were mentioning the younglings and the Padawans. I think a character who has not got his due, and I'm going to say this has got to be a novel, for sure a novel, Dooku.
Yeah.
So Dooku gets disrespected, but he touches so many interesting times and interesting developments. First, you get to see... You start out his whole life where he's born rich. I can't remember what planet he's from, but he's born royalty. So you get the story of a youngling ripped from his family and taken by the Jedi. Then he's Yoda's Padawan.
Yeah.
What is it like to be a teenager going around the galaxy solving problems with Yoda?
Right.
That's amazing. Then how does the Jedi, why does he get so upset?
Yeah.
Is it just manipulation from Palpatine, or is he already upset?
Yeah.
And then being inside his head when he is being manipulated, and we all know, you are incredibly powerful, you're incredibly smart and regal, and we all know that you are just being played. You are just being used to poke Anakin until he is evil enough to turn.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have him cut your head off. Mm. And, there would be just, a great tragedy to,
knowing that
what his mindset is. Because, I want to believe the story we've been told, too, is that he legitimately politically believes the separatist cause, which often gets written off as just like a tool. But thousands of people, millions, believed that
cause. It is almost as if he, and I've heard him described as almost the father of the rebellion.
Yeah.
When you flip it around and the time turns around, the movement he started, which might have been part of Palpatine's ploy, the Phantom Menace, was him creating his own opposition to put himself in a position of power. But was Dooku, did he believe it? And you saw when Anakin's about to kill the Separatists in the end. But Palpatine promised, Sidious promised us peace. So at some point, Newt Gunray, though he was, Newt Gingrich Reagan trope for Lucas to take a swipe at, at some point they believed in something.
Yeah.
And if Dooku was their leader, and he ended up being on the right side in a weird way.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, because even if all the Separatist leaders are just about greed and wanting cheaper trade and all these things, there's still all these good people from all of these planets who believe, like, yeah, the Republic sucks.
Yeah.
They don't treat us well. We want to be free.
Yeah.
So there's so many interesting things. Yeah. Dooku.
Dooku.
That's it.
I like it. Dooku. Count Dooku. I like it. I like it. That's some great stories. We got a note here for the life of a stormtrooper in the Galactic Civil War era. We've talked about it too. I think that's the great thing about Lost Stars is what it did is it kind of gave you the other side and how one stayed and one didn't and how that, you know, again, talk about just a soldier doing his job or her job. That's something that's been repeated throughout history too. There was a lot of Nazi soldiers just felt they were doing their job, and that was interesting. And I have my own grandfather who had to fight for the Nazis because he was forced to because he was captured as a Russian soldier.
Really,
was given the choice of die or fight. So could there be something in that?
Oh yeah, somebody kidnapped.
In the story, and Biggs was joining the Imperial Academy.
Mm. Yeah, Luke wanted to go to the
Academy. Luke wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Wedge, as we now know, started there. So did Hobby. Thanks, Rebels. Yeah.
Maybe Han, we'll see.
Maybe Han.
In new canon.
Where did he get those pants?
Yeah, we know from the new era we're in, we know how Finn feels.
Yeah.
So much great development of the clone troopers. Mm-hmm. And, in new canon, we've really been developing the stormtroopers as the sucky replacements for the clones, who everybody calls bucketheads.
Yeah.
And you're right, we get a little bit of it in Lost Stars, but I just start to feel bad for the rank and file stormtrooper. What were you thinking? Is that just what everybody did? They just signed up and it's like, look, we're not giving you good training. We're telling everybody you're fearsome, so they leave you alone. But then when there's actual trouble, you barely can see out of your helmet. You don't know how to shoot.
Don't know what to do.
Everybody calls you a buckethead. You're just kind of useless. You just look scary.
The character, Riz Ahmed's character, Bodhi Rook, is an Imperial.
Oh, right.
And they say in his description, it was just a job to do. Mm-hmm. It was just something. So there's definitely some stories there to be told, too. There's a lot of stories, guys. I think we did a good creative roundtable. These ideas are ours and are officially trademarked now.
Exactly. You need to pay us the money when Disney listens. So I'm sure Disney has built like an actual droid.
Yeah.
A little astromech droid that listens to all the podcasts.
I like that, actually.
Yeah. So, hey, out there, if you're listening and you have a Star Wars story that you want to see told or have a response to some of ours, go to the Facebook page. Twitter is there as well, at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center. But I feel these are going to be a little bit more longer responses, more thoughtful, more than 140 characters. Go to our Facebook page, Force Center on Facebook, and write us. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think about our stories and tell us about the stories you want to hear going forward in the Star Wars galaxy. So with that,
should we move on to some audience questions?
Let's have some questions.
Excellent. So our first question comes from Leanne Jones at Leanne CG, and she asks a nice practical question. Sometimes you ask the big questions, and sometimes you get down to the nitty-gritty. Did Luke put Vader's helmet back on for the funeral pyre? And if so, did Kylo take the skull and helmet when he found it?
Well, Jennifer?
I don't know.
It's very grim, isn't it?
Well, I think that his, like we were saying, his skull would be burned.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah.
It'd
be weird, or I say weird in a cool way, to think that somewhere there's a skull of Vader around. But
that'd be great.
The purpose of burning it would be to, of course, turn it to ash. Mm-hmm. He did put the helmet back on.
He either put the helmet back on or took all of Vader's clothes off and just burned the armor, which is also a weird visual.
True.
Or maybe during the flight, Anakin disappeared into the Force.
Yeah.
And the body was gone. And he's burning the armor.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I didn't think about those. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There's another story we can tell.
Oh, there's another story.
But let's assume the body's in there because everything else is weird.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Certainly put the helmet back on then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is understandable because it seems like it's symbolic, both honoring and erasing,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Accepting the passage.
And I think that how Kylo got the helmet is another story that I think we'll get eventually somehow.
I think so.
Yeah, right.
It's worthy of something. But I know, too, you know, in the Aftermath series, you got those acolytes who are going around. I think they have Vader's lightsaber. I think there could have been something with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Them being the ones, and they could turn into the Knights of Ren or have something to do with the Knights of Ren or something. I think there's something, because they keep focusing on that in the Aftermath interludes. They seem to be playing some kind of important part to at least, you know, possibly the story.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm.
But I would think that, you know, I don't think that Kylo Ren has his skull separately or skull lodged in. Right. I just, for myself visually, I love that melted helmet, and I don't want to imagine you pick it up and you rattle it around and there's a little a little bone in there. Whoops. Oh, sorry. Sorry, grandfather.
Right.
Drop your skull again.
Yeah.
I don't want to picture that myself personally.
Love it. Great question. Yeah. Great question, Leanne.
And our next question comes from Darth Vanquish, who always asks great questions. At Darth Vanquish says, how do you want Jar Jar to ultimately meet his demise in canon? There's another deep story. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, I think the best way would be like how Boba Fett, like just an accident, basically.
Oh, like he tripped one too many times and this one's fatal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people would go nuts. I would go nuts.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know? Don't make it some like torturous thing. Just,
That's awesome.
Does he fall off a deep place or does he get his head cut off?
No, I think he would. I think it's a fall. He trips and he falls.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's an amazing. He's with Captain Tarples, and Captain Tarples is like, oh, Jar Jar, you fell. Oh my God.
I Jar Jar. Told you, Jar Jar, be careful on the ledge.
Jar Jar gone.
Wow. That's it.
I love that the sweetest, softest member of the team wants Jar Jar's death to be violent and accidental.
Death by slapstick. The Jar Jar Binks story. You know, it tracks. And, you need that. Sometimes things are just the will of the Force, right?
It's the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would like to see our friend Jar Jar. And Jennifer, don't throw anything at me. I know you like to throw sticks and rocks like an Ewok. I would like to see Jar Jar, after the mistake of voting in Chancellor Palpatine to have special powers, Dello Felicates, that he leaves politics, or at least galactic politics, returns to his home planet of Naboo, goes back and takes over for Boss Nass, becomes Boss Jar Jar, and lives his days on that chair, giving out advice and fair judgments because he was treated so unfairly and harshly by his people.
Yeah.
And learns about the secrets of the planet Gore and dies with surrounded by his friends and family.
What? That's it? I'm like, and then he gets betrayed and you're like, Julius Caesar
just retires.
No, he's holding his little grandchildren's hands, right? I mean, all right, I have a more exciting end of Jar Jar for you.
I want bloodshed.
Is his grandchild Annie Binks?
Exactly, Annie Binks. Yeah. Captain Annie Binks, playing with the blue balls, surrounded by grandchildren and blue balls. He dies peacefully. I want to believe in the redemption of Jar Jar Binks, right? So the darkness falls. He realizes, in retrospect, that he was complicit in it, certainly, because it seems to be no secret that our friends, the good guys, figure out, oh, Palpatine planned this for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he learns, oh man, and I helped this along the way. So I think that he gets real serious. He goes back to Naboo and he asks for training from Captain Tarples. He's like, I know I'm a klutz. I know I'm terrible, but maybe if you practice with me. And I think he trains and I think he joins the rebellion. And I think in a moment of not tripping, his like one moment in life of true purpose, I think he sacrifices himself in some way to the rebel cause.
Wow.
So I think he can say to himself, it's a one time, Misa, do something on the purpose. Where he knows he's not tripping like an idiot. He knows the stakes. He knows the choices. Yeah. And he just steps on a mine that saves everyone. Something really just heroic. Maybe in a ship. Maybe he goes Jar Jar Binks Kazi. and takes out a Star Destroyer.
An A-Wing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, you guys. Yeah, right.
Well, your opinion is valid, Jennifer.
And I think yours is the most honest to the character that we've seen. Yours is the most likely.
I've grown to like Jar Jar, so he should just end his days, you know, gracefully with his grandchildren. You know,
we'll see. We'll see.
No, I don't. Yeah. I love the idea. Just there's nothing special about it. He just tripped one too many times.
That was it. Oh, Jar Jar. I'm sorry.
There's a price
great
to pay for your
great question, Darth Vader.
Absolutely. And our final question is a little bit meatier. John Minet. I do not know how to pronounce your name, and I apologize.
I'm going Minet.
John Minet on Facebook asks, or rather says, the Sith in Jedi temples portrayed in Rebels are really crazy Inception-esque fun houses inside. I feel like it's territory that we desperately really need to explore, but might be too far out to be embraced in a saga film if they dig too deep. Would you agree? And if so, what type of anthology film or Netflix series would suit that exploration best? So a little bit of a return to our main topic in a way, but I think a nice specificity to that side of storytelling about the Force.
I talked a little bit about in the horror episode where we talked about, hey, you know, you could have some, you know, Star Wars scary story dealing with what people are searching for and what they find in those temples. And, you know, there's pretty scary stuff. Even I'm thinking of the final Lost Clone Wars season where Yoda goes in and some of the things that was going on with him and what is it, Bane that shows up.
Yeah, Morbend,
voiced by Mark Hamill. There's some interesting things in there. Rebels seems to be really focusing on what's going on in those temples and the fact that Luke went searching for the first temple.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important. I don't know if a Netflix series or anthology film, again, going back to our initial discussion of where's the best fit, possibly a book, but there would be cool visuals. So I don't know. Maybe a
what about a game?
A game?
Oh, like a video game?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that would be great.
That would be fun, right?
The secrets of the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, and there's precedent for lots of games like that that trick you. So you really don't know what's going on. There's a great video game for the GameCube called Eternal Darkness where you had a sanity meter, and as you lost sanity, if you didn't do a spell to restore your sanity, there would be weird effects.
Whoa.
And that would be great because it's that whole like testing your perception of reality. The one thing I'll say is I think that the main films can get away with a little bit of that. I mean, you go back to Empire Strikes Back, it's not a temple, but it's certainly a testing place of the cave tree.
Yeah.
And Luke fighting Vader and seeing his own face. And that's the kind of thing they're dealing with, of like trying to show you reflections of yourself. And also Rey's Force vision also get into that territory. So I think that Star Wars has such a history of weirdness that they could go into a temple in one of the main films and take it pretty far. Couldn't be a half hour.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be on the third Blu-ray that they release. When we get to see the bonus scene of the full Jedi Temple
deleted scene of 8.
You know, that reminds me of something I saw on Twitter. There was a film critic, and he said that he has a friend who's working in the Star Wars world and said, remember that scene with, you know, that vision and whatnot in Empire? He said, if you like that, it's you get just wait for episode 8.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know.
What did you take from that?
Well, you know, where Luke is and where Rey is and where the movie allegedly picks up, if that is truly the location of a first or early Jedi temple, and we're also seeing from that now famous Instagram photo of Mark on the back of Daisy Ridley, and he's the Yoda, could there not be a point where he says, go in there, you must.
Yeah.
Only taking with you what you take with you, kid. Right. Give me my lightsaber, give me the staff, and go in there and figure something out. And what could she learn? You know, there's stuff that, you know, was, I think even Daisy saying, you might soon learn who my parents are. Could it come from that? Could it be a vision of that? And could there, and I can't imagine it being delivered in a nice way. Nice, simple way.
Yeah.
You know, does she get into a fist fight with the Emperor and the cowl's pulled back and it's her face there? I don't know. You know? So, yeah, I could totally buy into that. And the vision from Force Awakens is perhaps one of my favorite sequences of that movie. So,
yeah. And she's got to face whatever darkness she has inside of herself or whatever challenge she has to overcome, because that's certainly where we are in the story. So, yeah, I think we're going to get a little bit of that. But if it went into just like absolute trippy crazy town, I think it'd be great to have a video game or if we get the anthology movies that like we want and we get some young Jedi stories set anywhere in the timeline, that'd be great to spend a bunch of time in trippy Jedi or Sith temples.
Good question.
I love that. Ray walks in and some Hendrix starts playing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my new pitch for the top of episode 8.
Yeah.
Very top. Yeah. Luke takes the lightsaber back and says, thank you. And Ray says, who are my parents? And he's like, I don't know. I've never met you before. I know nothing about you. Go in the cave.
Go in the cave and find out.
Go in the cave. Find out.
It's the cave of answers.
It's the parent finding out cave. Gonna capture Snoke, put him in there, figure out what his deal is.
That would be awesome if he was like, and you are.
I truly know nothing. You're not my daughter. I know nothing about you.
Oh, the question will be answered.
I love it. Great question, John. Happy that you went to our Facebook page. We want to grow that as well. We want to keep growing our Twitter page. It's been our big push the last month or so after the iTunes rating and reviews, which you guys are doing so good still on that. Don't forget to rate and review if you haven't already. But on Twitter, you can follow us at Force Center Pod, and we're trying to get those numbers, get over 1,500, and grow it so we can give you guys communicate even more with you in a direct nature with some fun pictures, little jokes, and of course self-promotion for our shows, because
Absolutely. That's
how you know when they're out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So do that well as well. Follow us at Force Center Pod. And Joseph, locally here in Los Angeles, you've got some big things coming up.
Yeah, I got a show coming up very soon. It is on Thursday, November 10th. It is at the Nerd Melt Theater. It is the monthly show I do with my friend Hal Lublin, who you might know from many things. He's done some great voice work. He's a star of the Thrilling Adventure Hour podcast. So the show I do with him is called Head Cannon. Ken has been on it. Yeah. I would love to get Jennifer on the show sometime if she would like to be on the show.
Sure.
It is a comedy game show where we ask people weird questions about pop culture, whatever's going on, and they give us funny answers. Sometimes they even sing. It's beautiful. So our next one is coming up. Our guests are Janet Varney, Mike Furman, and Amber Preston, all super funny people. Janet Varney is starring in the new show Stan Against Evil, so I'm really excited to get to meet her and ask her a bunch of weird questions about pop culture. So you can find out all about that on my website at josephscrimshaw.com/live-shows.
Absolutely. It's a fun time to be on. It's a fun time to watch. I've had a lot of fun watching that show as well. Jennifer, you, of course, have got a bunch of Star Wars stuff on YouTube. Tell the fine folks where they can go find it if they haven't already.
Yeah, you can find my Star Wars stories on youtube.com/Jennifer Landa or my Twitter page at Jennifer Landa.
Beautiful, 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 guys. I think we had a lot of fun today. It was a good writer's roundtable.
That's
we
right.
Had some stories to work on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time that we start telling Star Wars novels. We start writing our Star Wars novels.
That's
all right?
Right.
Force Center presents unlicensed Star Wars stories.
We should absolutely write the Force Center Choose Your Own Jar Jar Death book.
I love it.
That'd be something.
That'd be fun.
Oh, that's amazing. Guys, until next time, Misa, so happy you here to be listening to us. Bum Bad Show. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.